Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Mishpatim. An unexpected side effect of moving the podcast feed to the Pardes Elmod electronic learning website is that now there are some additional audio files of various lectures and other classes that are showing up on the podcast feed. We're aware of this issue, and we're working to correct it so that the podcast feed consists of these Torah podcast episodes. We may start a second podcast feed or something else. We're still investigating. In the meantime, please accept my apologies if there's extra files appearing that you don't expect, and of course, you can just delete them. This week, Rabbi David Levenkurs discusses Mishpatim. There is a handout for this podcast, and that will follow as the next episode in the feed. Rabbi David Levenkurs is a senior member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkurs.
Thank you, Larry. I don't know about you, but if I just saw God, there are lots of things I would do. Pray, meditate, write it down, faint, rush to tell somebody. There are a myriad of emotions or actions that I would do if I'd actually spoken and seen God. I can't quite imagine taking out a picnic basket and helping myself to a sandwich and some soda water. But if we look at this week's parsha, this seems to be exactly what happened. We read about the young men who had a vision of the divine, and they ate and drank. Number one on your source sheets, Vayechasu et ha'elokim, Vayochlu v'yishtu. What did they do? They ate and they drank. Needless to say, the commentators have a lot to say about this, and the different strategies they used to explain it, the different ways they had to understand it, tells us a lot about how they viewed God, how they viewed people, how they view food, how they viewed spirituality. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the different strategies they used, and then try and understand what it can teach us about the role that food can play in our lives, the different roles, you'll pardon the pun, that food can play in our lives. I mean, if you look at your second source that you have, this is very, very different from Moshe. Ve'yisham im Hashem arba'im yom ve'arba'im layla, lechem lo ochal umayim lo shata. Moses was with God for 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread, nor drinking water. So it's a very, very stark contrast to the young men who saw God, who ate and drank. And it's really negotiating these two that we're going to be looking at today. Should we try and be like Moses, separating ourselves from spirituality, from physicality? Should we be like these four men? Rashi, In his commentary, not unsurprisingly, sees this as an act of disrespect. Now, you must aklim bo belev gas. They looked at him with a vulgar heart, metoch achilah v'shtiyah, while they were eating and drinking. Moreh Nevuchim, the guide of the perplexed in the Rambam, says that they lacked true meditation. The Malbim says that they saw the divine, but were still able to eat and drink. And this basically is saying what they did was wrong. They should have been doing more worthy pursuits. Unculus is also embarrassed by this, but he explains it away. He says they didn't really eat and drink, but rather they were happy that their sacrifices had been accepted as though they had eaten and drunk. Ke'ilu achlin ushatan. He sees this as being a simile, that it was the vision that nourished them as if they had ate. In other words, Rashi and Unculus both agree. Rashi and Unculus both agree that it was not a right thing to do. Rashi says they did actually eat and this was wrong. Unculus says, no, they didn't really eat. It was as if they ate and drank. And he can base himself on Brachot 17a, where in the chutzpah that our rabbis are so good at, they actually use this as a proof text for saying that in the Olam Haba, Ein ba lo achila ve lo shtia, there will not be eating and drinking in the world to come. Why do we know? How do we know this? Because of our pasuk, v'yechasu et ha'elohim, v'yochlu v'shtu. They saw God and ate and drank. Well, obviously, this can't be real eating and drinking. People don't do this. And therefore, we know that the world to come is going to be an all-spiritual place where tzadikim yoshvim ba'atrotem b'roshehem, where their tzadikim sit with crowns on their heads and spend their days contemplating the divine presence. So over here, we see a proof text of Unculus, and this is also said in Bamidbar Rabbah, number 6 on your source sheet, Melamed shezanu enehem klapei shchina. Their eyes feasted on the divine presence. The food was the sight of God. All of these are, and even there they were punished later for being too excessive. All of these are definitely going in the direction that eating and drinking after such a wonderful divine spiritual experience is a wrong thing to do. The difference is that Rashi says they really did eat and drink and that was bad. The others, Unculus and where he bases himself on, say, no, they didn't really eat and drink. How can you think they did such a thing? The Zohar also says that it was not physical food, but the vision of God. When we come to number 7 on the source sheet, the Ibn Ezra brings a different idea. He says, Shiardu smechim mehahar, they descended from the mountain happy, v'yachlu zivchei shlamim shezavchu narehem, v'yishtu b'simcha, they ate peace offerings that their youths had sacrificed, and they drank in joy. In other words, they came down and they gave a korban. V'Rabbi Yehuda Halevi amar, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says, "Hutzrechu shiochlu." They had to eat. Af al pi shenehenu meziv hashchina. Even though they had enjoyed the wonderful presence of God, they had to drink. V'skir bavur Moshe. Shechaya arba'im yom va'arba'im laila below achila. And this is said because of Moshe, who didn't eat and drink for 40 days. There's a lot going on over here. First of all, it says, unlike Moses, they had to eat and to drink. This is emphasizing the humanity of these particular people who saw God. In a sense, they become human again. They've just had an almost out-of-body, totally spiritual experience. What do? Afterwards, you eat to remind yourself that you are human. I think about this when I think of the Arba Shenichnasu Pardes, the four who entered the Pardes, and only Rabbi Akiva came out all right. One rabbi went mad. One rabbi became a heretic. One rabbi died. It seems as if in many ways, if you think of the other, at least of two of the four, or maybe three of the four, they were unable to become human again. And it's interesting, Rabbi Akiva is the one who says the greatest rule of the Torah is to love your neighbor as your neighbor. It's interesting, and that's a very human mitzvah. It's almost as if these men, once they've seen God, have to come back to earth and have to become human again. And they do this by eating and drinking, which is a very, very basic human act. The next thing I'm going to say is somewhat speculative. I think it was shared with me by a student, but it could also be some, and in terms of this, it fits in very well with Arba Shenichnasu LePardes as well, that they could be happy that they survived. This is a very anxiety-provoking thing. It might seem like this absolute wonderful thing to meet God, to see God. It's also very, very anxiety-provoking. And this one says they ate shlamim. I sort of think that they might have been eating mashed potatoes or macaroni and cheese or whatever it is, or slowly cooked chicken or whatever it is that you find as your comfort food. But I wonder if maybe this was like this enormous experience that they sometimes had, that they just had to eat and drink at the end of the day to become human again. So this is very, very different from the previous ones. The previous ones are saying eating would be a wrong thing. The Ibn Ezra is saying that this is what human beings do. And this idea is expanded upon in a little bit of a different way in Breishit 31, Psukim 44 and 46. We read about making a treaty, and they make a treaty, and they say, let's make a witness, and they take stones, and they make a large mount, all very ancient Near Eastern, very, very common in the ancient Near East. And then it says, Ve'achlu sham al hagal. They ate there on the top of a mound. This is what you do when you make a treaty. When you finish having a treaty, you sit down and you have something to eat. You make a l'chaim. When you have a meal in which a covenant is created, you sit down and you eat. And this is picked up with the Ramban. He like the Ibn Ezra, he says that they ate a peace offering. She'asu simcha v'yom tov. They made a simcha and a yontov. Ki ken chova lismoach b'kabbalat haTorah. This is what you do when you receive the Torah. We've just seen God. What do? We have a party. The exact opposite of Rashi. Ve'amar Rabbi Elazar mikan she'osin mishtel ligomra shel Torah. Rabbi Elazar says, from this you learn that we make a feast at the finishing of the Torah. In other words, the Ramban is saying it's a good thing to eat after such an occasion. It's a way to make it holy. We do this every single time we finish a Masechet, every single time we finish a tractate of Talmud or another large chunk of Jewish learning. And it's very, very fascinating, this, because it seems to maybe hint that every single time we finish a Masechet, it's almost as if we're having a revelation of God again. And indeed, those of us who have finished a Masechet or a big piece of Torah very, very often know this magical feeling of like, I've mastered it and I know it. And there's something very, very spiritual about it. And it's really, really beautiful to my mind that we have make a feast at this moment. And again, this is a comment of a student who said that after Yichud, after in the Yichud room, after a wedding has taken place, nowadays the Chatan and Kala go to a room to be alone with each other, theoretically for the first time. And usually what happens is you eat, and it's a very, very similar type of a thing. They've just gone through this powerful experience, this spiritual experience. Their status has changed, which is an enormous thing. Doesn't happen often. Your status has changed, and you eat. It's a celebration of the privilege of marriage or of receiving the Torah. There's also something, these are all ideas that brilliant Pardes students have shared over the years. There's also a flip side of it, which is not all can see God, not all can even finish a Masechet for whatever reasons, but we can all eat food. There's something democratizing about it. If food is a way to get to God or a way to celebrate God, we can all be part of a celebration. Food and drink can be a way to alter our consciousness. And in a sense, maybe I'm pushing it a little bit, but they could be continuing the experience. They could have had this powerful experience, and then taking their physicality, they're continuing their experience. Physicality can be used in the service of spirituality. In a sense, what they're doing is they're ingesting the experience that they've just had. In summation, I'd like to say that we see a number of ways to look at food and the eating of food. It can be not spiritual, as we saw in Rashi and Onkelos. It could be necessary, but not necessarily holy. In other words, you get hungry, we're human, that's who we are. It can be of psychological value. It can provide comfort. It can help us if we're anxious. And finally, it can be a vehicle for the expression of our values, whether it's through continuing the experience, through signing a treaty, to serve God. I think if we secularize this a little, or we just even take it away from its context, we can see that in many ways these are different parts of our lives. There are times, I can't speak for you, but I can just speak for me. There are times when eating is just a non-spiritual or parava act, you'll pardon the pun again. This time when it's necessary, but not necessarily holy. There are times, certainly, when I eat for psychological value, and there are times, maybe at Shabbat, maybe on special occasions, where it really is service of God. I really think I and we have a lot of choice as to how we choose to bring food into our lives and how we choose to bring in food into our bodies. And I think there's much to be learned about how food can act as healing and as a way to serve God. Something to think about the parasha, something to think about next time we have something to eat. Regardless, b'tavon, bon appetit, and may we all merit to see God. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levenkurs. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.